This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Now again, if you would like to contact me, you can do so through my website or by regular mail, and I'll give you those addresses at the close of the program. Remember, you can re-listen to this program on my website, and on the website there's a weekly meditation that you can read as well as other information that you might find helpful. But today we want to continue talking about the first epistle to Peter. As I've mentioned before, Peter is a very important, prominent, foundational person with regard to what we believe today. He started out as a fisherman of men, and he ended up being a shepherd of the Lord's people. And as we have looked at his life, we have seen the strong points in his life. We have seen his commitment to the Lord. We have seen him be with the Lord on special occasions, and we have seen his dedication to that truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And now, as we come to his writings, we find out that he is trying to be a permanent help to the people of God by writing down the things that he is concerned about. And so we have noted that these are shepherd epistles. And as we look at these shepherd epistles, we've tried to outline them for you and notice that in chapter 1, one of the important verses is, "Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." And while that chapter deals with the gospel, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever, it also deals with the holy living that is associated with one who has believed the gospel. And I have said that perhaps the key to the whole epistle would be found in the first chapter when he says, "But as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy." And the idea of being holy is the idea of being sanctified or set apart as special. It's the idea of being a unique people that the Lord has purchased for his own purposes. And we are a special people, and we are to act differently from the people in the world who have rejected the Lord. So that sort of summarizes the first epistle. But we also noted that while the truth of genuine faith is found in the first chapter, and holy living is found in the first chapter, one of the important verses that we want to emphasize in this epistle is found in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, where it says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." When I read that statement, I realize that Peter had found out that the Lord cared for him, and I'm thinking back to when he was standing there before the high priest, and he had denied the Lord three times. And then we read that the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. He knew that what he had done was really done through his concern, his fear of the people, his fear of the leaders of the people of that day. And yet we come to the end of John's gospel, and we find the Lord approaches him and says, "Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" And Peter says, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I am your friend." And Peter was restored to the fellowship of the Lord, and he was given the commission to feed the Lord's sheep, to tend the Lord's sheep, and that's what he's doing now. And I think he himself, through his relationship with the Lord, found out that the Lord was compassionate and forgiving, and that he did take care of his own. So we can cast all our care upon him, for he cares for you, or some versions will say, for he cares concerning you. And so while we are saved, By trusting in the Lord Jesus, we're not saved to be forgotten. The Lord has a care for his own. Actually, he has a care for the whole world, and we know that. But there's a special care for his own. Those who have trusted him, he takes care of them. We don't always see that. We see martyrs and others today, and we wonder, well, how is he taking care of them? But it seems that he gives them strength and courage for what they are to pass through. And we've got to remember that this world is not all there is. Even Peter was crucified, and tradition says he was crucified upside down because he didn't want to be crucified in the same way that the Lord was crucified. And so when we look at Peter, we find out that he was martyred, and yet he was prepared for that. And the next chapter will deal with suffering and how that we suffer, but the Lord is the example of suffering. And so even when we go through the trials of life, we have to remember that the Lord will be with us in those trials. He will care concerning us. He has a care concerning us. And we know that on the other side, it is going to be a glory forever. And so we can cast all our care upon him in a practical way. He'll care for us. But when things don't work out the way we want to in this life, he's still caring for us, and he will send his angels as he did for Elijah, and take us to be with himself forever. And those angels carried even Lazarus to Abraham's bosom in Luke 16. And so we know that we have to look beyond this life when we think of a verse like this. But it does include the blessing of being the Lord's in this life. So now we come to chapter 2. And in the if chapter 1 is really deals with the gospel and the holy people, then we come to chapter 2 and the idea of the holy people is now amplified. We find out that in chapter 2 and verse 12, he says, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that is the unbelievers, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. And so he tells us that we are a chosen people, a special people, a purchased possession, and we need to remember that. Now, we are special because of our faith in the Lord Jesus. In the Old Testament, the special people were born right. They were born as descendants of Abraham, of Isaac and Jacob. In the New Testament, the special people are a spiritual people, and they have to be born right. They have to be born again. They have to be people who have received the Lord. As many as received him, in John 1, we read, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of man, but of God. And so we have to be born right to be part of his special people. But those who have faith in the Lord are now his purchased possession. And so as we look at his purchased possession in chapter 2, he's making it clear that the Lord is the chief cornerstone. That's the foundation of everything that we believe. He's the rock on which the church is built, that foundational truth upon which the church is built, because the Lord could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And while he is that foundation upon which the church is built, we recognize that he's also an example for the Christian. We are his disciples. We are his followers. And if the Lord suffered, it's likely that we are going to suffer as well. And he tells us in 1 Peter 2 and verse 12, then, oh, I've already read that, that you should by your good works, you should by your good works show that you are honorable among the Gentiles. And then in verse 20, chapter 2 and verse 20, he says, for what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. And then he reminds us that that is exactly what the Lord did. And so we have a summary of the gospel at the end of chapter 2, which goes like this. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And that's why we could read in 1 Peter chapter 5, casting all your care upon him, for he cares concerning you. But notice in this section we have an overview of how Christ lived, and that's an overview of how a Christian should live. I realize we're not saved by how we live, but once we are saved, we should show that we are saved by wanting to be Christ-like. And you'll notice that in every instance, as we go down through this passage, we find out that the things that are important in the world and defending themselves are not the things that are important to the Lord. He never defended himself. He suffered. He committed no sin. He never lied. No deceit was found in his mouth. That is such an important truth today, because if Christians are liars, how can we expect people to believe that we believe in the one who never lied? We are to be like the Lord in that our word is to be good. Our business contracts are to be golden. Our promises are to be yea and amen. He never lied. And we need to set an example with regard to that, because we preach that we have the truth. And if we lie, when we preach that we have the truth, we'll seem like hypocrites. The Lord never lied, and that's why we're absolutely certain that when he died for sinners, and if we take the place of being a sinner, he died for us. So when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. In the Sermon on the Mount, he said that when we are smitten on one cheek, we are to turn the other also, and he did that. And so we can see that he was willing to suffer at the hands of unjust men, and the day of vengeance is not now. Now is a day to let the Lord defend us, and there's going to be a coming day when these things will be made right, but it is not now. We are to be like the Lord, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. And here's the blessing: who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And friend, that's a truth that you can take to the bank. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.